So today is week two of our Christmas series looking at the miraculous. And just a reminder, definition, it's that which is affected directly by almighty power and not by natural causes. So that's the 66 books that we have in our Bible. That's the Christmas narrative. That's oftentimes a lot of our lives, but we overlook that. Today we're going to be looking at Gabriel as he visits Mary and Joseph in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1. So we're going to start by reading through those narratives and then picking through. I found at least 15 different miraculous aspects of just Gabriel coming to Mary and coming to Joseph. So let's look at that narrative. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, well, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. And then we go to Matthew 1, and we see how this happened with Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18, says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. We're familiar with this narrative. It's a wonderful, I don't like the word story. That's just could be my weird hang-up. Story to me sounds fictitious. Narrative, you'll just have to get, that's one of my many hang-ups. But anyways, this is just so wonderful and just the miraculous event. So we're going to dig through here the miraculous events surrounding the birth, or at least the conception of Jesus. So the obvious one, number one, the angel visiting Mary. We see here in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So remember, it's something that happens the miraculous at the hand of the Almighty God, not by natural causes. So if God sends an angel, by definition, that's miraculous. The angel goes to Mary, to this virgin betrothed to a man who is named Joseph. This virgin was named Mary. So we get this angel first come here, sent from God to her. And then we continue on. We see her favor and God's presence there. He said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And further on, she gets to be afraid. He says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So that's pretty, once if we step back, this is pretty miraculous. There is nothing I can do to make God happy. For me to find favor, it is a gift of God. It is his grace. If we look at it, you know, by worldly standards, I think it should be flip-flopped Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth had a lifetime of godly, wonderful living. to find this great favor with God. She did find favor, I believe, whereas Mary, most likely a teenage young woman, says, "You found favor." Obviously, I imagine she lived her life as a righteous young Jewish woman, but she's favored with God. How great is that to be favored with God? The Lord is with you, to have God with you. We take that for granted in our Holy Spirit lives. We have, of course, the Lord is with me. What a wonderful thing in an age where the Lord's been silent for 400 years to say, hey, God's found favor. The Lord is with you. It's miraculous if we think about it. But the angel doesn't stop there, so we know this is the virgin. So continuing on to verse 31, the angel says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." This is miraculous because she is not married yet. She has not been yet with a man, so for her to become pregnant is miraculous. And it's interesting, it's the other side of the coin, completely different, and other end of the spectrum from Elizabeth. Elizabeth over here, who has gone her whole life being barren, has gone through menopause, has gone to where she cannot, but then you have Mary over here who hasn't even started that facet of her life. And yet she's going to conceive. How wonderful is that, this miraculous event? Well, how is this going to happen? Verse 35, the angel says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit, God is going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. We see this wonderful power of the Holy Spirit, and we take for granted His power. We also have God living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us as followers of Jesus Christ. Is He really empowering our daily lives? Or is He just something we take for granted, someone we take for granted? But He overshadows, overpowers, and she becomes pregnant. And how wonderful that is, how miraculous. And we'll certainly won't debate that level of a miracle. It's awesome. And so as we continue along this thought, we look now at Joseph, what the angel promised to Joseph. So we have a miraculous prophetic conception. So not only did the Holy Spirit overshadow, and she became pregnant, but this is what was going to happen. This was already what was told in Scriptures, Matthew 22, 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So this is all come and take place, not just by happenstance, by God's wonderful, wonderful, awesome hand. For any prophecy to be fulfilled, it has to be by the hand of God. That's how it works. So there's just wonderful things going on here. And so because Mary was a virgin, because the Holy Spirit has overshadowed her, impregnated her, and so this means very wonderful, awesome things about this baby, about this baby's identity. There's a miraculous identity about this baby Jesus. Therefore, because of the virgin conception, therefore, because of overshadowing, therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. This baby will be set apart because it's God interceding. This God baby will be set apart. The curse from that came forth in the garden with Adam and Eve from generation to generation to generation, however many hundreds of generations until we get here. It's not there. This baby is set apart. This baby, because this is the Son of God, this baby is God, will be called the Son of the Most High, is set apart. God is set apart from this world. God is holy. God is so far above. He is so far separated from the brokenness and the sin of this world. That's who this baby is. He will be called holy. He will be great, called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. So this miraculous identity here. Continuing on, we get the identity also as you look in the book of Matthew. What did the angel reveal to Joseph? "She'll bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus." Why? He will save his people from their sins. This is going to be the great Savior. This is who he is as a person, as the God-man, fully man and fully God. He will save his people from their sins. They will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we have the Holy One, God with us, the great Savior, all in this one, for now, baby, soon to grow up and be our Savior. And how wonderful is that? You look at all the other religions in the world, and that's not how it goes, is it? If you got to try to work and struggle and get your way to be perhaps hopefully accepted because you follow enough rules and regulations. Perhaps you've appeased whatever God. You've been a good enough person. But no, God in reality chose to be with us. A miraculous, miraculous thing. God didn't have to choose to be with us. God was with us, was he not, in the garden? God was with us. And our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents blew it. But we know if they didn't do it, we would have. So we can't be too hard on Adam and Eve. And if we didn't, our kids would have. Because we wouldn't have been good enough parents. I don't know. Anyways, but the point is, God was already God with us. And we know from Revelation 21, God will be God with us again. This is the narrative of the whole entirety of Scripture. He wants to be with us. He wants to be united to us. So God is coming to reunite us to him. This gracious, gracious God. This forgiving God. It almost seems, if you look at the book of Hosea, just the great magnitude to which he is loving and forgiving. Tells the godly prophet to take the prostitute to be his wife, just so he can see the degree to which we are an adulterous people who cheat on our God who loves us so much. And yet, God remains faithful to us. He comes back and he will come back again. So we have this miraculous identity. And so there's even, in this identity, there's fulfillment of prophecy, miraculous prophetic identity. Luke chapter 1 tells us, and the Lord God will give to him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This isn't just God woke up one morning and decided, you know what, I think we need to send, hey son, it's time for you to go in. We need a pinch hitter. I didn't know what was going to happen. Our starting lineup's on the disabled list. You better go in. But no, this was the plan from of old that one day Jesus would reign on his throne. And this was the promise to Mary. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. These great promises, they will be fulfilled. This kingdom, he will reign in the house of Jacob forever. This kingdom will have no end. This is what God is doing. God is doing. He is sitting there right now on his throne, but one day he will come back and fully fulfill this. It's all by God's hand. Even if it doesn't feel like that's what's happening right now. This is the reality of the world we live in. This is what God has done for us in a miraculous way. So many, we could spend a whole series on the ways, on the different prophecies that are going to be fulfilled, that how God is going to reign and do all that. Perhaps we will do that. But this is again God's plan, and he's been working his entire narrative to bring these things to fruition. We can even see and hear the timing. Last week we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth becoming pregnant, as the scripture says here, 6 months ahead of time. But this miraculous timing, and so I see here some way to encourage Mary in all of this, to have somebody with it, not just any random person, but a close relative of hers. It says, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of with her, who was called barren. You see, God's gone ahead. As John the Baptist is going to do, gone ahead for Mary to see, look at what God is doing. Don't worry, God is with you, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, it's easy. There's that statistic, perhaps this older woman has a baby. Perhaps she releases an egg and whatever biology happens. But for this unmarried woman, this thing doesn't happen. Don't worry. See, look what the wonderful thing is God is doing. And so as we know, Mary's going to go to Elizabeth and find that wonderful comfort in her. The Lord doesn't leave Mary alone in this, even if her husband decides to perhaps abandon her. But we know he doesn't. We see the miraculous open heart. We know the realities of this engaged but not yet married young Jewish woman, the social stigma that's going to come around her, the difficulty. It's tough enough having a child, but in all of these difficult circumstances, to not only have a regular child, but hey, you're going to have the Savior of the world. No pressure, Mom. Just make sure you raise him well. Fortunately, the angel doesn't say that. But imagine that as a parent, knowing, hey, this is what your child is going to be. Wouldn't it be easy to put a lot of stress on yourself? How much do I spank? Do I not spank? Well, I guess Jesus probably didn't have to be spanked. He might have been spanked because we know his parents were imperfect. Perhaps he got a spanking when he was 12 years old, staying behind at the temple when he should have been walking with them because they just didn't understand. But instead, she has this complete open heart. We know that she didn't doubt. She just, how is this going to be? But she says at the end, this interaction with Gabriel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed. Let however you want it. And we say those things to God often, but we probably say those with 90% heart, right? Lord, may it be to you as much as is comfortable for me. I'm willing to give up everything I have as long as I can pay my bills, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you want as long as I'm not rejected by people. We put in those caveats. Do you sense any reservation with Mary here? So it's just miraculous, this completely open heart. All right, Lord, whatever you want. Perhaps that is why we saw earlier that she's the favored one. The Lord's with her. I think what we know from Scripture, God knows the heart. God knows her heart, how receptive she's going to be to this. The angel has explained the mechanics of how everything's working. All right, Lord, whatever you want. May it be according to your word. The miraculous open heart. As we look to Joseph, as we've already read with here, her husband Joseph, he was a just man. He was unwilling to put her to shame. But he said, you know what, I'm going to divorce her quietly. And then he gets the angel visiting him to reveal truth. So that way they can stay together. And, hey, don't worry. No, this is valid. This is what's happening. I know perhaps there's a little sense of doubt in Mary's story, because who wouldn't be doubtful about a story like that? To be honest, if somebody comes to me and says, an angel came and visited me and spoke to me, I'm going to have some doubt in my mind. Will some of you have some doubt? In fact, the scripture says to test all the spirits. Well, we need to hear, is this really God, or is this really just somebody saw us? Because unfortunately, anytime we come to scripture, we have our own preconceived notions. We have our 21st century ideas. We have our Brian thoughts or our Gale thoughts or whomever thought. We have different things we take into this. So, of course, there's going to be a level of, I love our believer, but is this really true? Who knows the degree in which he's heard about Zechariah and Elizabeth? But the Holy Spirit comes, Gabriel comes to speak to him. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. This is the truth. This is the reality. So the Holy Spirit intervening, doing what Mary can't. We all know it's impossible to change a heart from our human perspective. We can give the best explanation in the world. We can do whatever, but people's hearts are either going to change or not, and that's a Holy Spirit thing. That's the Lord. And so I believe it was a miraculous change of heart that Joseph had there at the end. When he woke from the sleep, he did just as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Called his name Jesus. All right, I'm all in too. Perhaps he doesn't say I'm all in, but he's willing to go in as much as he is capable, as much as he is able, as much he's going to get that social stigma too. Why are you with this woman? What is going on here? But he has that change of heart. He's willing to fight the potential of the pride and everything else going on. So as we wrap up today, we just want to praise God for his miraculous hand. Praise God with Mary. Praise God with Joseph and just all these little aspects and everything else going on. Like I said, we could have gone into the different more prophecies, but we just focus on what was revealed here in these scriptures. Pretty awesome. An angel visiting not just one, but both. With Zechariah and Elizabeth, it was just Zechariah who got the angel. Perhaps it says something about us as guys. The woman just trusts her husband. All right, well, if this is what happened, well, clearly he had the mute sign. But the angel visited both, wants them to know exactly what's going on to the best that he can explain. The virgin conception, this holy, set-apart baby. How else are you going to get God to be with us? God knew exactly the right way to have the set-apart Son of God come into this world. And how awesome is this? The curses from the father's side of the family do not come into play because of the Immaculate Conception. And so I encourage us as we remember these narratives, as we go through this Christmas time, as you hear from the different, you've already heard the different daily devotions, just, wow, Lord, how awesome are you? And we just want to praise his miraculous hand this season. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who does the impossible. You've done the impossible with Jesus through Mary and Joseph. Lord, you've done the impossible in our lives. You've softened our hearts to accept you as Savior. Lord, many of us have made you Lord over our lives, and I thank you for that. Lord, help us to walk in faith for the miraculous things that you are doing, that you want to do in and through us. Help us not to rest on just the things that we can wrap our minds around, the things that we can grasp with our hands. Because, Lord, we know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. Lord, may we come out of this Christmas season closer to you, stronger in our faith, trusting you that even if things are going against the grain of this world, the grain of perhaps rational thinking, if it's from you, then it is the right and best way. So, Lord, we commit this Sunday to you. May you guide and direct our week. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.